Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, in this day and time with COVID-19, a lot of things in life have changed. Many things we've taken for granted have changed, like having a regular 9-to-5 job that pays the bills. Many businesses have closed or cut back. Some will never return. Many people have had to rely on whatever savings they'd accumulated, possibly for retirement, and now those are either used up or getting low. So what will happen then? How will you provide for your family when businesses are cutting back or shuttering their doors? Many businesses have turned to the online world to supplement their budgets. In order to do so, these businesses rely heavily on a sales force that is either turned online in this day or time, or has really started to grow because the competition is out there and they need to get better. You know, some of the people that they've been hiring have actually found they can have a brand new career. They can leave their old 9-to-5 job behind forever. Many have found that they enjoy the freedom of knowing they are now in charge of their destiny. But is it for you? How can you get started? What should you do? What if you get started but don't like it? How much is it going to cost to get started? What will it take? How long will it take? All of these are very valid questions, and to help you get the answers, I've invited someone who's been at the top of their game in sales, and unfortunately, as I did back when I was in sales, he's also experienced a great fall. But through it all, our guest today has fought back and is now helping people just like you to win and win big. And through the noise and confusion of all that's happening in the world right now, one sales expert stands above the crowd, and that is David Angel, otherwise known as the Sales Angel. David is a seasoned sales coach based out of Hampshire, England, who brings over 20 years of veteran experience in sales and marketing to any business that looks to ramp up their sales efforts. The Sales Angel is easily one of today's default go-to people when creating business results without spending a fortune to generate more revenue. David has mastered the art of closing deals, handling rejections, and turning leads into raving clients. Currently, David also heads up a fully interactive sales training platform called the Sales Network. And through this program, David Angel helps entrepreneurs, salespeople, real estate agents, sales teams, anyone looking to turn a profit and sell their way up to their respective industry's upper ranks. So help me welcome to the program, David Angel. David, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
It's a pleasure. What an intro. Amen.
Well, David, the first question I always ask is this. Other than that brief information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is David Angel?
Well, first off, thank you for having me on today. It's a pleasure. I was really enjoying our chat a minute ago. So as you just rightfully said, I'm known as the Sales Angel. I'm a sales and business coach. I'm a dad of two, and I find being a father an absolute privilege. I live a fairly quiet life socially now, as the crazy days have gone. And I literally spend most of my time either learning, reading, or helping people hit their goals, which I was always grew up being told you can have anything you want in this world if you help enough others get what they want. And so that's pretty much what I do.
Amen. Amen. And you've spent basically the majority of your life in sales. So how did you get started in this business, in sales? And when did you realize that this was your calling in life?
By mistake, actually. So going back in my earlier times, like many people out there, I wasn't the best at school. I wasn't as focused. So I left school. I become a chef. I got to the top of my game, running my own restaurants by the time I was 18, which was great.
Praise God.
But I fell out of love with it. So when I left, I fell into sales just because without a huge amount of qualifications, you're sort of limiting yourself in the sort of mid-90s of what you could do. So I fell into sales, to be frank. And it was one of those things where I think we're all used to people talking about the I was born an entrepreneur and I had the lemonade stand, and nothing could be further from the truth. I wasn't that guy.
Amen. So how'd you get started in the sales though?
Well, I ended up falling into a job by chance that a friend was doing, and he was doing door-to-door sales, which most people have had their door knocked. Most people haven't done the job. And it's a very much, you're throwing yourself into the lion's den. It's an eye-opening experience, and it creates such a rhino skin for people for objections and hurdles and self-awareness, because when you're having your door knocked, people are turning up at your house and coming into your bubble. But you know what it's like where you live. You go down 10 houses of your street, you get a very wide mix of people. So if you're doing the door-to-door selling, you've got to be adaptable. You've got to be someone who can really move at a quick pace. Mm-hmm. Because at one minute you're talking to someone who's in their 50s, who's retired, whatever it is. Next minute you can be talking to a young family. Next minute you can be talking to a single mum. Next minute you can be talking to a professor. So you've got to be very much, but you are able to adapt at the drop of a hat and become almost a chameleon to your environment. And so, so that was how I got started.
Amen. Yeah, I remember when I was in insurance sales for, almost 10 years, way back in the late 80s and 90s, you know, exactly what you say, you know, the rejection, you have to start developing that thick skin, because, you know, if you got, you know, 25 people you're talking to and only three buy, those three will make your living for you. Okay. Yes. But you got to go, you know, and somebody said, oh, I hate all the no's. Well, I looked at it. I grew to the point where I looked at it, okay, tell me no, and I'll move on. And because I know, you know, what they call the law of large numbers, which you're probably familiar with. That,
yeah.
You know, if you are getting a 5% positive response rate or something like that, well, you talk to 100 people, you got 5 sales. So you got to go through the 95 no's to get to the 5. You know,
so, very much so. Okay. I think very much so. And I think the big problem now, I think one of the big differences, I was reading this the other day, is top performers make a habit out of doing high value activities, but the average people don't, even if they don't feel like doing it. And what I mean by that is people have become good at sales. They put themselves in uncomfortable positions. They put themselves in positions where they will get more rejection. If you look at the LeBron James of the world, how many shots they have taken, how many shots they have missed.
Yeah.
That's part and parcel of it. And if you're going to become a basketball star, you have to expect to miss shots, because it's normal. And unfortunately, a lot of people go into sales and they see it as a personal attack. They see it as a personal insult, especially for entrepreneurs now. You can spend 2 years developing a product, creating it, and then they launch it and they expect everyone to sort of be knocking down the door, begging for their product. And when that doesn't happen, they start questioning themselves. When even Apple doesn't sell to everybody, they've got a big market share, but you've got to think, where am I now? What am I trying to achieve? And what do I have to overcome to get to that goal? And like you rightfully said, if you're going to be at a position where you're going to work for 8 hours a day and you're provided with leads and you're going to be someone who's going to be continuously on the phone talking, you think, okay, so if my sales call takes 15 minutes and I'm going to work for my 8 hours, 6 hours I'm going to be calling, take out the amount of people who don't answer, take out the wrong numbers, take out the people who aren't interested at the start of a call, and you start going, okay, so actually I need to call X amount of people. There's going to be a certain amount of no's. There's going to be a certain amount of hang-ups. And then you start thinking, well, yeah, this is a bit more manageable. But what a lot of people do is they get that first rejection, and then they start retreating into themselves, take it personally, and for some people, they don't come back from themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, that is so true. You know, I remember when I started, I just started cold calling out of the phone book, you know, and I would go, I would try and call, you know, 30 people every night after work. And I was setting like 5 appointments a month and only getting 1 sale. But over the course, you know, what I was doing is getting used to the rejection. I didn't realize that at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was getting used to the rejection, so that's okay. You know, they hung up on me. Go to the next one.
Quite boxing. You've got to get punched in the face a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of people aren't used to that. I used to go to the gym, and I had a guy who I used to do one-on-one sessions with for Thai boxing. I would never want to fight because I don't like being punched in the face. And if you're going to become a fighter, it's got to be part of that. You have to. You can't be like, oh, that guy's hit me. That's unfair. He hit me too hard. You have to. You wouldn't become a good fighter, would you? And with sales, it's very much like that. You've got to do the numbers. It's not a magic fairy dust moment why sales happen. It's a clinical transaction that happens. It's mm-hmm. something where there's a method and a strategy and a plan. And that's the good news for a lot of people. They don't realize that. They think, oh, I'm just not good at sales. And actually, it's because you've never been taught how to sell. Yeah, and that's what makes it so much easier. Once people are open to that, it really changes what happens, because a lot of people are going into it blind. For some reason, people just think talking is selling. And if I talk enough at someone, they'll buy it. Yeah, you might get a couple of deals, but it doesn't mean you're effective. I can throw a basketball in the air. It doesn't mean I can start playing professionally.
Yep. And you know, when you force the sales like that, eventually they're going to fall off the books.
Yeah. Massively. You'll get some you might get some short-term success, but there's a saying, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And
that's right.
It's so accurate with it. And it's like that in normal life. We've all got people in our circle who are belligerent in the way they talk to people or that we know, or wherever it is. And they will force their opinions down people's throat. Now, yes, you might get those people to submit to you at that point. But it doesn't mean they agree to you or agree with you. And it's one of the big things that when I talk to a lot of people out there, a lot of the time it's not even learning new things. It's a combination of learning some new tasks, some new things to do, but unlearning some other things.
Oh, amen. Amen. And you've experienced the successful life in sales. I mean, the cars and watches and all that. I know I did as well. Describe what it's like when you are on top of your game.
The funny thing is, I think with stuff out there now, is there's levels to everything in life. And the funny thing for anyone who's ever achieved anything of any magnitude is it's not the achievements that mattered. It was the fact that you're a driven person. So there's not a cap on anything in life. And once you achieve something, you want more. For anyone who goes to the gym, most people are not going to go to the gym and go, you know, I'm happy with just this weight, just this speed, just this pace. They're always trying to beat that personal best. And sales is the same. And it was one of the big downfalls. I never used to have gratitude for the achievements I've made because you're always looking for the next bit. But it was amazing going off and eating in the best restaurants, going on the best holidays, having the big house, the boat, the cool cars. It's great achievements. And I think one of the big missing things for a lot of people, and I was guilty of this in previous times, was I didn't have the gratitude for all those I have. And I think when you develop a strong desire combined with a good work ethic and gratitude, you will soar so much higher and faster. Because once you appreciate what you have, it opens your universe up more for what else is out there, what else you can get. Where a lot of people, they have a short-sightedness, they get something cool, they throw it in everyone's face, they don't look after it and don't appreciate it, and then they sort of get stagnant, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. And you know, I was in sales for 10 years. I experienced the good times and some bad times because they go hand in hand. You've experienced that as well. Tell us a little bit about the tough times and what you had to go through and what you experienced.
I made dramatic mistakes, huge mistakes through alcohol, through drugs, and I ended up losing everything, which I think a lot of people, when they talk to me, they're a bit surprised about. And I think they're more surprised at the candidness that I have. And it's not the fact that I don't hold a candle to what happened, but I also believe in you have to move forward. It's difficult to pick something up if your hands are holding on to the past. And I've learned my lessons and moved through. But at its worst point, I mean, just complete, almost unbelievable unbelievable levels of chemical and alcohol abuse. But I had it masked as I was having fun and celebrating my life. It's only when later down the line and you look back and you've got hindsight, you realize actually the people that were around me that were adding fuel on my fire, they weren't building me up, they were taking from me. They were building me up because it benefited them. And by the time I realized what was really happening in my world, because I was blind to it, it was too late. And by that point, I was, I was past the point of salvaging anything. And to the extent I was living in my car. And that's the one big thing out there. Am I happy that happened? No, of course not. But I'm a 40-year-old man. So for some people out there in their 20s would say that's old as heck. But anyone who's ever hit the 40 mark knows it's not. And I believe now, like we were talking off air, the lessons that I've learned, the lessons you learn after the pain is gone are normally good ones.
Yeah.
And it's the pain part that's the hard. When you're suffering, like if you've been in a relationship and it's bad, the pain part is awful. But once the pain has subsided, you learn the lessons that stop that happening. The lessons that I've learned from things like we spoke about earlier, for having gratitude for what you have, for appreciation where you are, for having strong foundations, for having goals that are aligned with the person you want to become, not for the person who you are surrounding yourself with. Too many times in my own life, my goals were there to try and shine in my circle, not for the hero, the guy that I wanted to become as an example. And aligning those took a bit of time. But I would say now that the dark points that happened will be the making of why the amount of people I help over the years and the imprint I leave on the world will be such a positive, positive sight.
Yeah, amen, amen. So when you came to that realization, you know, people that you'd surrounded yourself were just takers and not supporters, I guess you could say. How did you begin to put your pieces, the pieces of your life back together again?
Well, when you lose everything, it's quite easy to get rid of the people that are toxic because they disappear, because they were with you for the wrong reasons. So if the good times have stopped, then either you're not in the places that they are, or they've just find someone else to fill that gap. So if you've got people that were trying to get money from you or tap you up for nights out or to buy all the drinks or to be the party guy buying all the drugs or to be paying for people to go away and on holidays, suddenly you're not as appealing to them because you don't do that. And it's funny, I gave up drinking. And it's not I'm against alcohol. I just know that for me, the way my head was, after I have two beers, a light would shut off and I would have no... I wouldn't go crazy. But I was actually, the worst part was I was quite functional with it. I could work fine with no sleep and high for 2 days, which most people can't do that. And that was the problem. So if I know that's a downside for me, breaking my association with those people was vital.
Yeah.
And it was looking at where do I want to become? And by being stuck in a forest, I can sit on the floor or I can start hacking down a new path. And if you're going to hack a new path, you've got to expect to get some pain. You've got to expect to get some cuts and some bruises, to make some mistakes. It would be hard to work. But you're going to imagine hacking a path through a jungle. There's going to be a point you're going to look back and go, God, was it worth it? It's never going to be worth it until you get to the end and you get to the clearing. And now I'm past that stage, building that path, although a very lonely road, very tough road, is probably the strongest foundation that I have at my core, because you find yourself so much more. You understand who you are. And when you build some time for yourself, when you take time to make the changes that matter, think of it like a boat. If you get a boat and you make just a few insignificant changes, but you're trying to go to America, that couple of degrees over time will mount up.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's one of the big things out there for people that they don't realize. But like, oh, it doesn't really matter that I'm only doing this. It doesn't really matter if I'm only doing that. But they mount up over time. And things like the quality of my morning changed. Like, I get up at 5 a.m. now. Did I want to? No, but I just know it was going to be. It wasn't going to be damaging to be up at 5. It's better being up at 5 working and studying and learning than it is to be up at 5 a.m. partying. And Amen. It's true, right? People are, I can't get up early. You can go out on a Friday night and stay up till 10 a.m. Of course you can. The problem is we're not inspired. We're not doing something that we love. We don't have a reason or we don't have a belief it will work. And all these things just change so much over time, but it builds up a resilience. I'm reading a book called The 5 a.m. Club recently, and it's changed my life.
Yeah.
What was it they said on there? The hero doesn't become great in times of comfort. And that really stuck with me, because then I think, do you know what? It's true. Heroes are built in times of hardship. Heroes are built through discomfort, through pain, through misery. There's no big hero films we've ever seen where it starts off, it's all going magical and they take over the world. Right, there's always a big down point. And it's that point out there. If you imagine watching Superman and he just went, oh, I'll just give up. I'm all right. I'm too tired today. And it's the grit, it's the determination. And we all watch those films and we get a bit emotional and we get a bit worked up because we can relate to that. Mm-hmm. What we struggle to do is when it's actually in real life and our own lives is to have that grit, have that determination, push through the pain. And having the plan and the mentors and the guidance next to you is one of the key foundations for it, because when it gets hard, you want people behind you that are cheerleading you.
Yeah,
not
exactly.
Trying to pull you back down, but are not trying to be like, listen, don't worry about it. You've done really well. Just give up at 24 miles in a marathon. You need someone who's going to be screaming at you, doing whatever it takes to get you over that 26th mile.
Yeah.
And that's one of the big things for me. The books, the audios, the mentoring, the coaches that I hired, and now I do that by using the coaching skills I've gained over the years, combined with the sales experience, to help others achieve where I am. All the stuff like we were saying with your podcast.
Amen.
Your experience in podcasting, all the lessons, you didn't know all the stuff you know now. Oh, now, if I walked up to you and I said, teach me what you need to know about podcasting, you have the experience and the knowledge to be able to do that. Yeah. And I think a lot of people, they just try and bluff their way through it. They go half-heartedly into something. They get a bit of rejection or hardship and they give up. But actually, that's when the hero time comes in. And we've all got that bit of hero in us. We just need to pull it out or have someone help us pull it out.
Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. I hope you got a lot out of this portion of my interview with David Angel, also known as the Sales Angel. Praise God. And this was just part one of a great two-part interview. Amen. You need to be sure to come back for the next episode where David really starts getting into some great concepts about his business and how he helps folks just like you to fulfill your calling in life as given to you by the Lord. But what you need to do right now is go down below into the show notes and get in touch with David. You know as well as I do that if you wait thinking you'll get to it a little bit later, you'll probably just forget. It only takes a minute to click the links below and take a look around his website, click on the subscription link, even shoot David out an email and ask a question. Just go down into the links and get it done. Amen. The good news is this was just part one. Hey, man, praise the Lord. You need to come back for the next episode because David is going to be getting into some specifics of his business and how he can help you. And in fact, how you can start to help yourself right now. So be sure to come back for part two of this great interview with the sales angel himself, David Angel. Till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.